T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So we're going to do this real quick. They have discovered, or recovered, I should say, recovered two bodies from the bridge collapse inside the waters, or under the waters of the river in Baltimore. Let's go to a news conference as it is going on live. Here is Senator Ben Cardin.
We are also working today on a replacement bridge, so that we can also have those plans in place and have the tools and resources available so that we can reconstruct the bridge as quickly as possible. First priority, open the shipping lanes, let us replace the bridge, and we appreciate the fact that the federal government will be there every step of the way. Senator Van Hollen.
I want to start where the governor and Senator Cardin and others did, by saying to the families of the six that we lost in this tragic accident that our hearts go out to you, and we as the Maryland family will do everything we can to provide you with the resources that you need in this very difficult time. It's also a solemn reminder of both the contributions and the sacrifices that our immigrant families make in our community and around the country. And I also want to thank the first responders for, first of all, the search and rescue operation, and now the recovery operation. Thank you all for the hard work that you're doing. As others have said, we have two priorities. The most urgent priority is to open up the Port of Baltimore, because as the governor laid out, it is essential to the livelihoods of people here in Baltimore and Maryland, and in fact, the economies of the region, and will impact people around the country and around the world. The Port of Baltimore is that important, and it is the 8,000 people who are working there directly, the tens of thousands of people whose economic livelihood is tied up with the port. So I want to thank the President of the United States, who called many of us yesterday and then spoke to the nation, is already delivering on his promise, which he has ordered the Army Corps of Engineers to do everything necessary to clear the channel so that we can reopen those shipping lanes. If we have to open one first and over a period of time, I think we're going to do whatever we can to make sure that we have ships passing through as soon as possible. The Army Corps of Engineers, the federal government, will pick up the costs for that, and those funds are available. I saw preliminary estimates between $40 and $50 million, but they are very preliminary. But the bottom line is the Army Corps will pick up the costs. I want to commend the governor and his team for their fast action in putting forward the notice that they're going to apply for the federal emergency relief fund, part of the federal Department of Transportation's program, the Federal Highway Administration. We will be working very closely with the governor, Secretary Wiedefeld, and others, and their team as you process that. Just to give you all a sense of what that means, for the you can draw down funds immediately for some of the costs of diverting traffic and other immediate costs to adjust to what happened in the short term. And then going forward, that relief fund provides a strong federal match. We believe it will be 90-10 in terms of the federal share, For the 10% remainder, Senator Cardin and I will be working very closely with the President and our colleagues in the Congress to make sure that we meet President Biden's pledge to do as much as possible, to make sure that the federal government picks up the costs. Some have asked about the ship owners themselves. Obviously, as the NTSB conducts its review, we'll have a better idea of exactly what happened. And if anybody is liable for negligence or wrongdoing, you can be assured that we will be pursuing those funds as part of the cost share. From the congressional point of view, we will be pursuing, as I say, what we hope will be about 10% of the total costs. Through the legislative process, we will push to increase, make any increases necessary in that emergency federal fund, and again, put forward legislation. Senator Cardin and I are in the process right now of reaching out, putting a phone call into Speaker Johnson, because we think that this is something where Americans should come together. This should not be a question of Republicans or Democrats. This is an American challenge. We are a great American city here in Baltimore, and we're hoping that all of our colleagues will come together and join us in making sure we rebuild the bridge. Because as the governor said, we do this together, and we hope that will also be true in the United States Congress. So thank you to everybody who's been part of this. I'm now going to turn it over to the mayor of this. I'm sorry, to Tom Perez, another great Marylander who is now at the White House doing wonderful work with the president. Tom Perez.
Thank you so much. Good evening. My name is Tom Perez, and I have the privilege of serving as a senior advisor to President Biden. And President Biden, like the nation, grieves for these victims. And he is no stranger to tragedy in his own family. And Governor, thank you so much for your leadership throughout this challenging situation. It's been steadfast and it has been remarkable. We are all in this together. When President Biden first heard about this yesterday morning, he summoned everyone who had a relevant stake in the game to come together to make sure that every federal resource was put to bear. So we see the Coast Guard, we see the Army Corps, we see the National Transportation Safety Board, we see the Department of Labor. The President directed us to make sure that we are doing everything possible. Success occurs when everybody is working together, and that's exactly what is happening here. I met with the families earlier today, and it is really, really tragic. And we will get through this. We have no doubt about it. And the President has directed us to move heaven and earth. Those aren't my words, those are his words, to make sure we are helping the remarkable people of the great state of Maryland to move forward. And we will indeed, Governor, I can inform you with confidence that we will process your request promptly, because the situation calls for prompt action. Déjame hablar poquito en español, porque las víctimas son latinos. Me llamo Tomás Pérez.
All right. Obviously, we don't speak Spanish.
The headline here, really, from the beginning, we missed the very, very beginning of the news conference, is that those expert divers have recovered two of the bodies, two of the victims of the six from that collapse. And God bless those families. God bless the rescuers. You know, anytime something like this happens, I think of the Lee's Summit underwater dive group. That group always goes out and does that work, and it is horrible, thankless work, but important work for those families.
Near freezing waters. Yeah. The temperature in the water is 42 degrees.
Pitch black.
They cannot see. And even during the daylight, they cannot see. The water is 40 feet deep, 50 feet deep. And they are going down completely blind as they tried to recover these bodies. Obviously, some vehicles were recognized on sonar. They have recovered two of the six bodies that they are looking for. And, you know, obviously the human toll is the most important thing. But you cannot discount the economic toll that this is going to have on certainly the city of Baltimore, the East Coast. This is one of the busiest ports in America. It is the 10th busiest port in the United States, but number one when it comes to vehicle import and exports.
The Port of Baltimore is responsible for 15 million in economic activity every single day. Bridge obviously is out of commission, what, a year, Scott? 2 years to rebuild?
Well, the bridge is, I mean, the question becomes how long is it going to take them to get them out, to get the bridge out of the water so they can open up the harbor again?
And then I want to get back to the one of the earlier statements that we just weren't able to bring all of it to you from one of the sheriff's officials on scene. The two victims that we are talking about that were thankfully recovered were trapped inside of a pickup under that debris.
So they were in the vehicle itself?
Were in the vehicle itself.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. She is Dana Wright. He is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Interesting story here from Odyssey, which happens to be our parent company. This is from KMOX in St. Louis. Anyone who grows anxious crossing a bridge no doubt has heightened fears now. Tuesday morning's tragic collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore focuses new attention on people who have a fear of bridges. Bridge phobia. Okay, I'm going to try to pronounce this. Why can't they just call it bridge phobia?
Because it's a disorder, and it has to sound medically.
Gyphara-phobia is derived from two Greek words.
Common spelling.
Yeah, okay. Gyphara, which means bridge, and phobia, of course, which means fear. Quoting here from Dr. Randy Monzetter.
It's gyphara-phobia. Gyphara-phobia.
Okay. When a trauma like this recent bridge collapse happens, it really augments and triggers this fear. This thing that you told yourself that can't really happen now has happened. Dr. Monzetter says there are four main phobias that can be involved with the fear of bridges. A fear of water,
yep.
A fear of heights,
yep.
The fear of driving,
falling,
and the fear of being trapped.
Oh, I would add falling, but yeah, okay.
Okay. The cure, she says, takes a lot of time, and it includes relaxation methods and incremental. Do you have a fear of going over a bridge?
I do not. But I do carry one of those tools in my car because I have a fear of all things fear that you could cut your seatbelt with and get out if, in fact, while your car was tumbling into, you know, Chappaquiddick, you could find it and get yourself out. But I do have the tool.
Where is it?
In my glove box, which, again, you would have to, in the middle of that emergency, figure out, okay, where is it again? You know, as and you don't know which way's up, which way's down. Right. It's pitch black. There's water. I have a lot of fears. Driving over a bridge is not one of them, but I certainly understand that fear.
You know, my mother, this is a true story. My mother, when we lived in Fort Hood, Texas, and I think I'm telling this story right. If not, she'll text me and correct me. Our backdoor neighbor was a lady by the name of Mrs. Wyrick.
Okay.
She was the roommate, college roommate, of
Mary Jo Kopechne.
Mary Jo Kopechne.
Really?
That is correct.
Those who suffer from that phobia, listen to this, drive with their seatbelts off and windows open just in case a bridge collapses and you need an escape route. In 2020, a woman named Tori Forbes talked to Inside Edition, of all places, saying that a bridge collapsing under her is her worst nightmare. In fact, as she drove across the Delaware Memorial Bridge with a camera crew, she tearfully started shaking and suffered a full-on panic attack as she went over the bridge. In fact, bridge phobias are so common that police at the Delaware Memorial Bridge offer escorts to people to get from one side of the other. Now, let me ask you this. Is the Delaware Bridge some different somehow that it's so bad that police offer escorts?
I'll look it up right now. Delaware Bridge.
One officer at the bridge in Delaware, are they posted there? Says he believes there will be a rise in people requesting an escort over that bridge after what happened in Baltimore.
The Delaware Memorial Bridge is a dual-span suspension bridge. Oh, it's a big one.
Okay. I mean, so big that they have officers there to escort you across?
I don't know,
Sam, if we can look up in the list of phobias, how big is this one? The first one is public speaking. We've looked at this before. People's number one fear is public speaking.
Here, I'll look it up right now.
Clowns are like in the top five.
Well, of course, with everything, there's a spectrum. My
claustrophobia.
Mom hates the I-29 bridge to the airport, the long swooping bridge to the left.
Sure.
Absolutely
really?
Hates it, but she doesn't roll her windows down and take her seatbelt off.
But that goes over land.
Yeah.
Hmm.
By the way, the longest continuous bridge is the Lake
It's in New Orleans. Lake Pontchartrain.
Yeah.
And let me tell you this. Once you get on that bridge, there ain't no turning around.
Oh, I've been on it. 24 miles long.
Yeah, you just sit tight for about 30 minutes because we accidentally got on that thing once covering KU in the Final Four. You will never make that mistake again.
Yeah.
Because it is a 30-minute one-way mistake, 30-minute back.
Well, and when I was on it, it was at night. It was pitch blackout. And yeah, all you could see was the bridge. That was it.
All right, I'm looking up the 10 most common phobias.
This is from CBS News. For people who are fearful, here it is again. The Delaware River and Bay Authority has a special escort program. You can call ahead and meet on the side of the road before crossing. The escorts talk to the drivers and try to ease their fears as they cross. Quoting here from Sergeant Steve Burkhead. They are using police for this?
Would you care to guess what the biggest fear that Americans have?
Public speaking. After I tell you about Sergeant Burkhead. It's always better to keep the conversation going and distract them. That's what he does. He distracts drivers from their fear. All right. If it's not public speaking, it's like an actual fear of a thing.
It is a fear of a thing, yes.
Okay. Is it snakes or spiders?
No.
Is it claustrophobia?
No. Fear of heights.
Oh, heights, of course.
Acrophobia.
Of course.
Is number one. Aerophobia is number two. That's a fear of flying.
Yeah.
Arachnophobia. Fear of spiders is number three.
Huh?
Ophidophobia, fear of snakes. Cynophobia, fear of dogs, is number five.
I had a babysitter growing up that would not get anywhere near a cat because at one point she was somehow in a car and her babysitter left her in the car with a cat and the cat went all meow. Oh. And so if you've had a bad experience with an animal, I certainly understand that phobia. But I think other people just have a phobia of things like dogs or cats or spiders because they just do.
Number six is trypanophobia, which is a fear of injections.
I thought you were going to say a fear of tripping and falling in front of people.
No. It's
the Jennifer Lawrence at the Oscars. There goes the trypophobia. She's fallen again.
Number seven is astrophobia, fear of thunder and lightning.
Okay.
Agoraphobia.
That's going outside.
No, that's you.
No.
Fear of being alone.
Oh, good God. I am not afraid. You do not want to take this to the air. I am not afraid of being alone.
Okay.
I just got a condo.
Number nine. Misophobia.
Keep going. Misophobia.
That's my fear of sounds that I don't like
nope.
Chlorine sounds.
Fear of germs or dirt.
Oh, misophonia is my
correct.
And it's a disorder, by the way. It's not a fear.
And finally, one that is actually what it says it is. Social phobia is number 10.
Yeah, I don't have that.
The fear of social situations.
Yeah, I don't have that.
I would imagine that would be speaking in public.
You know, we've decided that my first week in my new space, we're going to have Dana sleepover time, and I'm going to have, like, everyone in my life is going to take a different night and come hang out with me.
Yeah,
you want a night?
You're not afraid of being alone.
No.
What?
Do you want a night? It would be so
Sam,
fun.
Don't open this box.
No, I'm serious. We could watch a movie. It would be so fun.
Don't open this box.
All right, fine. I'll just go by myself then.
No, Dana, I'm not saying we're not willing to come over.
My girlfriends are all going to take a night, and we are going to have
just telling him
great adult fun sleepover time.
And I think that's great.
And you can leave at like...
9?
No, I was going to say midnight, but okay.
You know my bedtime's 8, right?
Do you also eat at First Cafeteria every Thursday at 4 p.m.?
Sometimes, and I have...
Only when they have tapioca. If they're out, he's going somewhere else.
You got the tapioca? No, I'm out. Telephone number is 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Caitlin Clark is not just getting interest from the WNBA. Clark, the Iowa Hawkeye
Hawkeyes. Try that one again.
Yeah. Oh, God.
From the top. Scott, get your tongue back in your mouth. Projected to be the number one overall pick in the WNBA draft on April 15th, has received an offer to join the Big Three, which is a 3-on-3 professional basketball league founded by Ice Cube, that has employed several former NBA players. The Big Three did not provide CNN any financial terms. However, Ice Cube posted a statement on Twitter that included a story from TMZ which reports that his offer to Clark is $5 million.
Here's the deal. Caitlin Clark's agents have agents. She can literally do whatever she wants.
She's going to be a superstar.
And we mentioned this in the 2 o'clock hour. I am so in love with her. And for what she's done for women and for women's sports, The ratings for her game this past week hit, I think it was 4.9 million.
Correct.
Which is a record for any game. It even eclipsed the UConn win, whatever the year that great win was in 99 or 2000. The final game. It eclipsed the final game.
No, she's a superstar. She has redefined. And I'm thrilled about this. As someone with 2 daughters, and I know you have 2 daughters, it has redefined women's college sports.
I told you this. We watched it all weekend. Yeah. We watched the Iowa game. We watched the LSU game. Yep. We watched the KU women's game. If you had said to me, you know, do you watch a lot of women's college basketball 5 years ago, I would have said no. And then she comes along, and everyone's like, oh, my gosh, look at all of the new eyeballs to women's sports. And then with Nebraska and what's going on with volleyball, and here with the KC Current, telling you, good time to be a woman. If I say so myself.
Well, no, and I'm not taking anything away from it. I think this is incredible, what she has done for women's college basketball. She has completely rewritten the script.
Yeah.
And she has put college women's basketball on the map.
I told you I moved an appointment on Saturday. I had an appointment at 4 o'clock. I have just moved that appointment because I know Iowa plays at 2 or 2:30.
They play at 2:30.
And I was afraid I'm not going to make the ending of that game, and I want to see the end of the game.
Story here from The Athletic. NCAA President Charlie Baker wants a ban on prop bets in college sports.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this.
Quoting here from President Baker, the NCAA is drawing the line on sports betting to protect student-athletes and to protect the integrity of the game. Issues across the country these last several days shows there is more work to be done. Prop bets allow fans to bet on how many points or rebounds a basketball player might have, or yards or touchdowns that a football player may have.
Say it in a different way, Scott, because our listeners are going, wait, what? We're talking about banning a certain type of bet in college sports, and here's why. If you bet that a certain football player at KU will rush for a certain amount of yards, and then that collegiate player does not, and you lose your $100, idiots are going online and direct messaging student athletes with things like, why don't you go kill yourself?
Oh, my.
That's what this is about.
Oh, my.
And so if you ask like a Harrison Butker of the world, if he misses a kick or if they're 1 yard short somehow and everyone goes, oh, somebody screwed up the line, people will say on Twitter, you suck, like whatever. What's happening with college athletes and prop bets are that individual student athletes are being bullied and harassed to the point that some of it's criminal, where you lose your money in New Jersey or Maine or whatever, mm-hmm. and you think it's your right to then go on Instagram, slide into some 19-year-old's DMs, and tell him what a horrible person he is.
So prop bets are not just...
It's not who's going to win or lose. It's like separate side bets that, you know, these idiots could blame a specific athlete for.
So when I hear, and you know I'm not much of a gambler, although I may participate in something in the back room that we don't talk about. When I hear prop bets, I think, does the coin land on heads or tails?
No, that can be some of it. But let me be more specific.
Is the Gatorade yellow or red?
You can bet that Furphy at KU will score 22 points tonight.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And if he scores 21, there are grown-ass adults that are then going online and harassing
that's a prop bet.
Lovely Australian young man. Yes.
Okay.
And so what they're saying is, we can bet on college sports. They're not saying stop all betting. They're saying stop the betting that is leading to the direct harassment and bullying of collegiate athletes, because the bet is, you know, dependent on whether a certain athlete performs a certain way.
And is there a concern that if there's a prop bet that Furphy will score 15 points?
Yeah, whatever.
That he could get caught up in some sort of illegal activity?
I don't think it's that at all. I think it's literally that they are being bullied to death in ways that we should be ashamed as sports consumers. We should be literally ashamed as adults that this is happening.
But have we not opened...
The players aren't even old enough to bet. You realize that. Most of them.
Yeah, you have to be 21 to
Except
bet, right?
A handful of seniors aren't even old enough to bet. And right. So this is good policy. I love sports gambling, but until I heard about the bullying, I wouldn't have had a dog in this fight. Now I'm like, kill the prop bets.
So go ahead, Sam.
What does that mean for a prodigy, per se, who goes straight to the professionals? They're still 19 years old. They can still be harassed
it
in
wouldn't
the
matter.
Same way.
It wouldn't matter. But, Sam, we can't allow this portal for grown adults who should know better to be bullying our kids. No way.
So do we, with college sports, and I don't know enough about gambling.
Make it about football. Your favorite collegiate player is going to have a bean, okay, is going to have so many rushing yards at KU.
Okay.
And then he doesn't. And then he opens Instagram later that night or Twitter, and there are people threatening his life or saying, you know, horrible things.
So with college sports, do we just go to the over under?
Yes. Money line.
The money line.
Coin toss.
Okay, so you have a lot of money on KU winning that football game, and yep. Bean throws 3 interceptions.
Okay, so it's not going to stop that. I was talking to the sports guys about this earlier. It's not going to stop that. But what might is a no bets, bets off sort of hotline, for lack of a better word, where if you are caught harassing or bullying a collegiate athlete, you can be placed on the no bets list and you're done gambling.
But how do you prevent that?
I asked the sports boys, how do you monitor that? And they said there's actually ways to do it. You can be banned from gambling. Oh, somebody's yelling out there. I even think we should look at the last year. If you have been caught, I don't care if you're drunk or not, threatening or bullying or harassing a player over a bet that you made as an adult, okay, you should not be allowed to bet anymore.
But how do you keep that person from making that bet?
That I don't know. Like how from coming up with a new name or coming up with a new bank
right.
account.
That's
I don't know. Or asking a buddy, can you whatever?
Would you wager for me?
Hey, if you put $10,000 down on me going the under tonight,
yeah, that's on you. But that's
sure
on
to miss
you.
A couple of baskets.
Right. Right.
I mean, I there's got to be a way, and I don't know enough about bets off because I don't have a problem to the point that I think I need it. I don't know enough about how those lists work. Who keeps the list? How, you know, I just don't know.
Well, but those lists usually are self-induced.
But they can ban you from a casino too, Scott.
That's
and
true.
So if you
That's
know
true.
That, and let's just say you do like to sports gamble, but you also love to go to Vegas, and you also love to go to, down to Biloxi, okay?
All right.
They can literally place you on a list that bans you from walking
but
in.
But if I was banned from betting in Biloxi,
yep.
Am I also banned from betting in Vegas?
I think the thinking is if you're caught harassing an athlete, they can make it so. And so there's
it's nationwide.
Yes.
Almost like you're on a terror watch list.
Right, exactly. How much do you love gambling? Because you're never going to set foot in MGM again.
Okay. All right. Telephone number is 913-586-7798. The head of the NCAA, Charlie Baker, wants to ban prop bets in college sports. So does Mr. Furphy get 15 points tonight? Or does he get 16 points tonight? Or does this quarterback throw three interceptions or two touchdowns? They want to ban the prop bet in college sports. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Dare I say, I'm a little embarrassed to admit this. I will be off a week from this Friday as I go to Wichita.
That's right.
Turn it up, Sam.
That's
don't,
right.
Don't be afraid of this song. Mm. My brother and I, Beaver, have put together a list of bands that we consider bucket list that we want to see before we die.
Mm-hmm.
Night Ranger happens to be performing in Wichita. This is so embarrassing.
You're driving all the way to Wichita?
Yes.
Okay.
A week from Friday, I will.
You do you, babe.
Well, my brother and I have put together a list of bands. I'm not going to tell you the other ones. Of bands that we want to see before we die.
Okay.
And, you know, we're both in our 50s now.
Yeah.
And Night Ranger was number one of
I was going to say, Air Supply ain't getting any younger.
No, they're not.
Run, do not walk.
No. By the way, Air Supply is coming.
I know. I've seen them. They are fantastic.
You know they are.
Oh, my God. And their guitar player. Whoa.
You're all out of love.
I am all out of love.
Yeah. So lost without you.
Right?
And so Night Ranger happens to be one of those bands. And they are playing next Friday in Wichita. And I will be driving down to Wichita next Friday night. And my brother and I will go see Night Ranger.
Yep, I will be here holding down the fort alone, and I have something to tell you that is equally ridiculous and funny.
Okay.
I have never had this happen, but someone has named one of their animals after Dana.
A goat? Please tell me.
It is not.
Tell me it's a goat.
A goat.
Damn it.
It is not a urinating goat. It is not a goat wearing jeans. My friend Heather does have goats, and I'm going to go see them with Carrie because they're so cute and they bounce around. I think one of them faints. But she also raises chickens. Now, hang on one second. I want you to listen. Listen.
Merciful Jesus.
This is Chicken Dana. Look at her little hair.
Look at her little hair.
So she sends me this photo the other day of this chicken. And all the chickens are behaving. And then there's Chicken Dana right in the middle of this going, rah! Like this crazy chicken. Its legs are flying.
What's it sound like?
And she said to me, I can't stop laughing. This chicken reminds me of you. I love her so much. This is my new favorite chicken. And I go, well, I want a chicken named Dana. And she goes, oh, done. This is Chicken Dana. And so I thought maybe, you know, we have not had a great.
No.
Just wait.
No.
Wait. She's in Belton. We have not had a great track record with bringing live animals into the studio.
We've had a failing track record.
But I think with little Chicken Dana, I mean, look how little she is. Oh, she's so cute.
She is
look
adorable.
At her little Chicken Dana.
This is Chicken Dana.
Her
little hair.
She's got a little mohawk going on.
She does have a
mohawk.
Oh,
my gosh. I can't wait. So I said to her, you know, if you're ever in town, take little Chicken Dana and put her in like a satchel and come on over and we'll have you onto the program.
Like a little chicken purse?
A little chicken purse.
And bring her into the studio?
Chicken purse, little Chicken Dana.
What could go wrong?
I don't know.
We so are excited. Like over five on live animals.
I know. This will be the one. The parrot. Oh my God. Huge bust.
The non-singing parrot.
Huge
yeah.
misfire with the parrot. And the that was on me. Yeah. Now the goat was hilarious. Please be honest.
I don't dispute that.
Well, but, actually, no, we're not over five because the kangaroo was awesome.
Oh, I forgot about the kangaroo.
I forgot about
baby
that.
Kangaroo.
Oh my God. Oh. I love the kangaroo.
Well, and wait, whoa.
That's the cutest picture of you, Sam.
The kangaroo was awesome. When you brought the, when you had the kangaroo brought
yeah,
in.
Yeah, we've had puppy days.
There was a dog that came in yeah. about 2 years ago.
They bring in like emotional happy puppies on yes. certain days where you can make a donation.
And I thought the dog was super sweet.
Totally fine.
The kangaroo was awesome.
It's more like the wild-ish animals. The parrot was just a misfire. It just was.
I mean,
the parrot was supposed to come in and go rawr, 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 during a Chiefs game.
Right.
And online it does. You got that bird in here, and it looked at us like we were insane.
Dana, you have orchestrated some of the best interviews on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just brilliant stuff. That parakeet.
It was a parrot.
Whatever.
It was not a parakeet.
Whatever.
It was like a full-on.
That was a turd on a cold paper plate.
It was literally just no audio or video. Or anything. It was just a bird not making
he sings. Listen.
Any
he sings.
Noise at all.
Oh, by the way, you know we had the guys in from Park University last week.
Love that interview.
And that was a great interview, and I really enjoyed it. One of the guys from that group is now looking into my father. Oh.
I wondered if you were going to say this.
So
go back and remind everybody. So go find it on podcast.
So they are going back through World War I records.
Yep.
And trying to identify a number of minority service members
that should have been given the Medal of Valor and were not.
Or Medal of Honor or one yes. of the others like Silver Star, et cetera. But were because of their race, were not given it.
Yep.
And as they were walking out, I said to one of the young men, I said, hey, I've struggled with this over the years. Would you look into my dad's service? And he was in Vietnam, blah, 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 Lieutenant Colonel
he was
Park.
Like he was in World War I. God, you look great for your age.
No, I am. I'm young.
Are you 150?
He had me late in life. Very, very late in life. And so I got a message from him yesterday.
Oh, stop it. You didn't tell me this?
Well, I'm telling you now. He is working diligently to find out about my dad.
Yeah, it's not like they don't have a lot of stuff going on, but I know they're happy to do it. And I'm so proud of you for asking. And you do not know what happened to your father. I want our listening audience to understand that.
Correct.
He never talked about it.
He only told me about his last day in Vietnam.
He never talked about it.
No.
And so now these young men are going to help you maybe fill in some of those blanks. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
And, you know, maybe this is something he didn't want me to know. But I want to know.
Yeah.
I need to know.
It's not up to him anymore. He died in World War I.
Well, that's right. We got to run. Bonus hour is next. Don't forget to check out the podcast. It's available at KMBZ.com. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright, my good friend and co-host, my name is Scott Parks. Be safe, be well, and most importantly, be good to one another.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.